This is our third week in the Names of God series, and in Sunday school just a little while ago, I was reminded of two names that we completely skipped over because there's so many names for God all throughout Scripture in the ways that we get to know God and interpret who God is. And so this series just gives us glimpses of different pieces of God's attributes. And today we are focusing on the Father and the Son. And so I invite you to join me in our opening prayer. The words will be on the screen. Loving God, revealed to us as Father and Son, you dwell among us in grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, you see your glory in your Spirit. We are gathered as your children. Be present with us in this time of worship, that we may know your love more deeply and live as your beloved. Amen. This morning, our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only, one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am.' For he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord my God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are our rock and our salvation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had that experience of seeing a parent and a child together and instantly knowing they belong to one another? There's no doubting that the son looks like the father, that the daughter looks like the mother. They look exactly the same. Sometimes it's in their appearance, but often it's in small mannerisms, their unspoken similarities, the way they laugh or tilt their head. We say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In John 1, we hear about a resemblance too. But it's not about Jesus looking like God. It's not about the shape of his face or the sound of his laugh. Instead, it's about how Jesus embodies the very character of God, the way God's own being is expressed in the world. John tells us, "No one has ever seen God but the unique one who is himself God." There's no one like Jesus. And Jesus is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. John opens with soaring poetry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word, logos in Greek, doesn't just mean spoken word. As Sharon Bettsworth notes in her commentary, logos is that by which the inward thought is expressed. In other words, Jesus is the full expression of God's own being. That's not just an abstract idea. John insists that the Word became flesh and lived among us. God didn't just stay far off, sending occasional messengers or dropping hints through creation. God's own life, light, and love moved into the neighborhood. Think about the difference between getting a letter from someone you love and having them show up in person. You're happy to receive mail. You tear open the envelope and read with excitement the words written on the page. I don't know about you, but I love getting mail. When my friends send me cards, I am so happy. I'm a terrible card sender. I'll write a card and just forget completely to put it in the mail. But that doesn't take away the joy that is receiving a letter in the mail. But then you imagine with me, you don't expect anyone to be dropping by, and you hear a knock at the door or the doorbell rings, and you go to the door and you find a friend or a family member you haven't seen in a long time, and there is nothing like being able to wrap your arms around them and just be with them. I have a friend visiting. She left today, but she's been home for almost 3 weeks, and she hasn't been home in over 8 years. And so the time that we got to have this past few weeks has been precious, because we can talk on the phone, we can video chat, but it's not the same as being able to sit down and play a game together or walk on the beach or play with her little one. Toddlers don't like you as much over the phone as they do in person. What's striking in John's language is how he describes Jesus' closeness to God. Bettesworth points out that instead of only son, a better translation is only child, the one who is in the bosom of the divine parent, the one who is God's only begotten child, a child like no other. That's not an image of distance or authority, it's intimacy. It's a picture of a child being held closely by a parent. That's how Jesus relates to God. And it's out of that intimacy that Jesus reveals who God is. That is where the novel, The Shack, helps stretch our imagination. How many of you have read The Shack or seen the movie? A bunch on this side, a couple on this side. It's not scriptural, but it is a beautiful imagination of God's relational being. In that story, Mac meets God not as a stern, bearded old man, but as Papa, a nurturing presence who even takes on a maternal form. The maternal form of a southern black woman wearing an apron and making biscuits. The point isn't that God is literally one gender or another, it's that God is relational, that God is like a parent whose embrace is far wider than our categories. For Mac, who did not have a good relationship with his father, this image of God was something welcoming, something warm, something relational that he could embrace. For Mac, that encounter shattered his old assumptions and opened him to trust God's embrace. John's gospel does something similar. It pushes us beyond narrow images and invites us to see God as the divine parent, revealed through the beloved child. If Jesus shows us God's true character, then God is not primarily about hierarchy or domination or rule-keeping. God is about relationship, parent and child, love given and love received. When Jesus is described as the only child, it reminds us God's love is not bound by our narrow images. This language is of abundance. The law given through Moses was already a gift, a way to order life with God. But in Jesus, John says, the fullness of God's generosity overflows. Grace upon grace, love upon love, not rationed, but abundant. My mom kept a humongous deep freezer stocked. She would go to Sam's Club and buy humongous packages of meat and then spend time cutting it all up and packaging it individually. She could stretch any meal. If a friend of ours wanted to stay for dinner or came over unexpectedly, she could grab something out of the freezer, defrost it, and make it into whatever she had already planned so that anybody who wanted to be a part of our dinner could be. And when I was in college, every time I came home, I left with half of her pantry because she always wanted to make sure that I had enough. Mom, I've got enough. It's okay. And she would still fill bags and send them on the way. That's what grace upon grace looks like. The abundance of God's love that never runs out. Many of us live with a scarcity mindset. Not enough time, not enough energy, not enough money, not enough love. But the God revealed in Jesus meets us with abundance. We see the abundance of God where week in and week out. Here, we make sure that families who don't have enough clothes or don't have the money to go get clothes for the next season, or their kid grows unexpectedly and they budgeted this amount, but now they need new clothes or new shoes, they can come here and get what they need. Families who can't put enough food on their table drive through our parking lot week in and week out and receive boxes of fresh food and bags of pantry items, and we couldn't ever raise enough money to provide all that food on our own. But God makes it happen through organizations like the Food Bank, who make sure that valuable resources don't go to waste. Through generous people who would rather have their clothes given away for free than sold cheaply or thrown out. Remember where we were last week with Moses standing at the burning bush. There God revealed the name, I am who I am. But still, from within the fire and the mystery, God was present and speaking, yet hidden. But later in Exodus, Moses goes even further. He pleads, God, show me your face. Show me your glory. He wants to know God. God tells him, you can't see my face, for no one can see me and live. So Moses only catches a glimpse. God's back, as God passed by, he experienced God's presence, but never the fullness of seeing God directly. John's gospel picks up that very longing. No one ever has seen God. And then John gives us this astonishing twist. But the unique one who is close to the divine parent's heart has made God known to us. What Moses could not see, now we see in Jesus. The glory once glimpsed only from behind is revealed in flesh and blood. And this glory does not come as blinding light that overwhelms, but as grace and truth that embraces us. Here's the heart of it. No one has ever seen God, but we can speculate, we can imagine, we can wonder. But John says Jesus makes the unseen God known. And the God we see in Jesus is not aloof or distant, but a parent who, no matter what, wants to make sure that we have enough. Make sure that we know we are loved. Make sure that we can have a relationship. A relationship that can't be separated or broken no matter what we do. 1 John 4:12 says, it echoes this passage with the idea that no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, then God's love lives in us, and God's love is made complete. We don't know if God has any physical features at all, but John says, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. Look at his compassion for the outcast and the sick. Look at his courage for confronting injustice. Look at his willingness to lay down his life out of love. In Jesus, the resemblance is clear. The child reflects the divine parent. And here's the astonishing thing: through Jesus, we too are invited to become children of God. We are drawn into the same embrace, called to rest in God's arms. This means that the Christian life is not about rules to follow or doctrines to master. It's about a relationship, about being loved and known, and then reflecting that love to others. People ought to be able to look at us and say, they must belong to God. I can see the resemblance. So what is God like? John doesn't give us a philosophical definition. He gives us a child, an only child, who is close to God's own heart, overflowing with grace and truth. And the invitation is this: to trust that in Jesus we see the character of God. We receive the invitation to embrace that overflowing grace and to live as beloved children who carry the family resemblance into the world. May we be so secure in the embrace of our divine parent that others can look at us and say, there's no denying, they belong to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for the ways that you reveal yourself to us. That you are Yahweh who breathes life into us with every breath that we take. That you are El Roy who sees us. Who sees us in our most vulnerable places. Who comes to us in the deserts of our lives and offers a promise of life, a promise of hope, a promise of grace. And we thank you that you are a God of relationships, not just a creator, not just a father, not just a mother, but a father who is a son, who sends a son, who will do nothing, who will stop at nothing to prove your love for us. We thank you that you have walked with us and talked with us, that you call us your own, that you know our worries and our cares, that you comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, that you are with us. God, help us to not just be more like you, but to look more like you, that the light inside of us would be your light, that others would know who you are because we belong to you. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.